Let's turn to Romans chapter number 2 tonight. Romans chapter number 2. I hope you've enjoyed the study in the book of Romans. And I appreciate the Apostle Paul, God using him and giving us these words to study and to live by, doctrine for the church. It's very, very important. A lot of people don't think doctrine is important, but doctrine is just simply what the Word of God teaches when you're talking about scriptural or biblical doctrine. And then false doctrine is that's taught that's contrary to the Word of God. Don't get mad at me tonight. I was thinking over there when I finished praying, I was just kneeling there and I was thinking about the progressive movement that's been going on for years, and that's what people call it. But in order to progress, it looks to me like you'd have to go forward. And every time I turn around, it looks like we're going backwards. And to progress and to go forward, you would have to line up with the Word of God. You would have to admit that that's not just a little blob of cells in a mama's womb, but it's a baby. You'd have to admit things like the police officer's life is important, and it don't matter what color you are. Your life matters. You say, preacher, how do you know everybody's life matters? I've read John 3:16. For God so loved the world. It didn't say the white world or the yellow world or the red world or the black world. It said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible talks about over there in the Old Testament not removing the ancient landmarks. I believe there's been some great landmarks laid down in America that are in danger of being removed. And if the foundation, the psalmist said, be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I'm glad there is a foundation that you and I are standing on, that the church is built upon, that cannot be destroyed. Amen. It is the Word of God. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He told Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church. And he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So when you get a little bit down, get a little bit discouraged, just remember where you are. If you're born again, you're in the church. You didn't join this church, amen. I'm talking about the church of the living God. You were born into that church. And Jesus is coming for that church one day after a while. Let's start reading in verse number 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. How many's glad of that tonight? For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Pray with me a moment, would you please? Father, thank you for these verses in the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, tonight as we explore them and try our best to expound upon the Word of God tonight, God, that you'll clothe us in our calling, help us to be a blessing, Lord, to our people. Lord, every one of us needs a blessing. And Lord, if we're going to be a blessing in this sin-benighted world that we live in, we need you to help us. We need you to bless us. We need you, Lord Jesus, to anoint us. Anoint the preaching tonight. Anoint the hearing of thy word. Lord, peradventure, there's someone under the sound of my voice, Lord, that's playing a game, that's never really been changed by the grace of God, by a new birth. I pray, God, they'd realize there's a judgment day coming. Lord, when the secrets of men will be revealed. Lord, I can understand. I've been there. How embarrassing it is, Lord, after years of church membership, to have to admit you've never been right. But, oh, God, it would not compare to the embarrassment of standing before a holy God. Many others, our Father, thinking that, Lord, everything was all right, only to find out, our Father, that hell was waiting. Lord, I pray tonight, help us to realize some truths that'll change us. Lord, I do pray for the prayer request tonight that's been made. Those that are spiritually, Lord, dead in trespass and sin. Those that are physically sick tonight. God, I pray you'd meet the needs. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Bible said here, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. There's a reason for this now. The Word of God said, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. I believe that is the ultimate form of hypocrisy. I was coming over to church tonight, and I don't know if anybody, Brother Wayne, you and Miss Carol go through Wadlow Gap, or come through Wadlow Gap, coming over this way, and I'm relatively sure, judging by the parking lot, that there's probably more people playing bingo tonight at the Ruritan than there are in prayer meeting tonight at Bible Way. I don't know if they're socially distancing. I don't see how they are in that little building. Amen. But there's some people tonight that would die for a bingo game. Amen. Would die for a ball game. Brother Mitchell stood in this pulpit several years ago and said something I've never forgot. He said you could throw a ball off into hell and half the church would dive in after it. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, listen, God's trying to wake us up in this country. There's something more important, listen, than sports. There's something more important than bingo. There's something more important than the things of this world. And I brought about that to say this. I mean, if I was to get in the pulpit and preach against bingo, preach against gambling, then go out there and play bingo, I'm a hypocrite. If I say something against somebody that I know is doing that, and then I go and do the same thing. I remember years ago, now you don't have to agree with me, but I had a fellow that everybody knows that, you know, I like to hunt and I like to fish, but I only fish maybe once or twice a year if I fish that much, but I just don't take the time to do it. But they were raffling off a gun, Brother Steve, and this fellow was going to make me a bargain on a handful of tickets to raffle off the gun. And he said, let me sign you up. I said, I can't do that. He said, why not, preacher? I said, because I want to be able to preach against the lottery Sunday. Say amen. Now, you don't have to agree with me tonight, amen, but I don't want to stand in the pulpit and be a hypocrite. Amen. If right's right and wrong's wrong, then I need to try to do what's right. And when I don't, I need to repent and get right with God so I can come to the pulpit and preach without being a hypocrite. The word judging here is not talking about righteous judgment. A lot of people think that a preacher's judging if he says that a man hadn't ought to have long hair. No, a preacher's preaching the Bible. The Bible said, doth not nature itself teach us that it's a shame for a man to have long hair, that a woman's hair is given her for her glory. I don't believe a woman ought to shave her head off either. Say amen. And I'm just telling you, but a lot of people say, well, you're judging. You're judging. You talk about people that's not married and living together. You're judging. No, we're preaching the Word of God. And beloved, listen, I believe that what we need to realize tonight is just quickly, there's two judgments that's being portrayed here. The judgment of man and the judgment of God. They're both being portrayed in this scripture. Just give you a couple of things tonight, quickly. The judgment of man, you can find excuses. How many has ever figured that out? Say amen. I've told people this for years. You can ask enough people the same question enough times, and somebody will give you the answer that you're looking for. But if you go to the Word of God looking for the answer, you don't have to ask, amen, but one time, and God will give you the answer, and God's answer will never change. I believe that, don't you? With the judgment of man, you can find an excuse. There's wiggle room, but in the judgment of God, He said they're without excuse. And I believe that tonight with all of my heart. In the judgment of man, you find deception. You find somebody being deceived. But if you find somebody that lines up with the judgment of God, you'll find somebody that's going to be delivered. Amen? You see what happened as David, we talked about last week, when David was covering and David was hiding. He said, as a matter of fact, the psalmist, I believe it was the psalmist David, but he said, it was in the book of Proverbs, I believe. Whosoever confesseth his sin and forsaketh shall prosper. But whosoever hideth his sin or buries that sin, he's not going to prosper. Amen. And the Word of God is teaching us that in the judgment of man, there's a deception. But in the judgment of God, when we bring it into God's light, we can get delivered from whatever it is that's going on in our life. The judgment of man is according to error. Beloved, listen. All you need, what's the picture of a woman's ultrasound? All you need is an ultrasound, listen, to see that man is in error. You look in there and there's a heartbeat. Amen. You look in there and there's the little hands and there's the little baby is forming there. And the Word of God said, when my substance was not yet perfect, amen, when God was looking on me, amen, God didn't need an ultrasound. And He don't need one to see our heart tonight. He can see us internally tonight. And so in the judgment of man, it's not a baby. It's just some cells. But in the judgment of God, I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, it'll come out one day after a while, amen. You say, preacher, I don't understand why America's struggling the way she is. Because America's turned her back on the truth of the Word of God. Amen. In the judgment of man, it's okay, it's just fine for a man and a man to walk down an aisle. Or a woman and a woman. And yet man's already put his stamp of approval on that. But God will never put his stamp of approval on that. In the judgment of God, it was an abomination. It is an abomination. And it forever will be an abomination in the judgment of God. It's not going to change. Amen. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. You say, preacher, they're really against marijuana. You can't even find nobody against that anymore. Amen. The issues just seem to go away. I've said this before. I need to say it one more time, especially with an election coming up. Listen to me carefully. You remember when it mattered whether a candidate was a family man or not? You remember that? When it mattered whether he was faithful to his wife or not? And then that issue just goes away. You remember when it mattered when a man stood for or against liquor by the drink? How many knows what I'm talking about? And the issue with man, we're talking about the judgment of man, it just goes away. You remember when it mattered? Listen to me carefully. You remember when it mattered, beloved, when a man stood for marriage being a man and a woman? How many remembers when that was an issue? And then, Brother Larry, the issue just goes away. But here's what we need to remember. The issues never go away with God. Amen. In the judgment of God, it's a judgment. Look what the Word of God said in verse number 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to, what's that next word? Truth. It's according to truth. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Listen to me carefully. The Word of God says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Whenever a person looks in the Bible and God says something's wrong and that person says something's wrong, that person is not judging. That person, beloved, is believing the Word of God is truth and that the judgment of God is according to truth. I believe that. The judgment of God doesn't change. Amen. What God said was wrong in the beginning. It's still wrong today. It was wrong to hate your brother. It was wrong to kill your brother the way that Cain did Abel. And it's still wrong today. The issues may go away with man, but the issues don't go away with God. I want to say this tonight, just a couple more things to get on with the message. The judgment of man is temporal. You say, preacher, what do you mean? It ain't going to last long. But the judgment of God is eternal. When God drops his gavel, it's eternal. You think about that for just a minute. God makes no mistakes. His judgment is according to truth. I want to say this. Listen to me carefully. You have to know this. You have to believe this. The judgment of God, it has no respect of persons. It's not going to matter to God whether it's the preacher or whether it's a church member, or whether it's somebody sitting on the bar stool, this same book. Amen. God is no respecter of persons. But how many's wise enough to know that in man's law, are you listening to me? Listen to me. You can get mad at me tonight if you want to, but there's some people can get out of a ticket just by knowing a secret handshake. Say amen. Respect of persons. With God, there is no respect of person. There's some people, beloved, that can stand in a courtroom and find favor because they belong to this organization or that organization. But I'm going to tell you, when you stand in God's courtroom, it's not going to matter what organization you belong to. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, we're sure, that's what Paul said, we're sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. Take your Bible tonight and turn with me, please, to the book of Luke. I want to show you a passage the Lord put on my heart when I read that. Luke, I believe it's chapter number 15. Luke chapter number 15. There's not a lot said about this man in the Bible. We talk about the prodigal son, and we talk about the prodigal's father, and the story is a wonderful story. Some people use it as an application of a Christian that's gone wayward and then comes back. I believe all three of the stories told in Luke chapter 15 are telling us that God saves lost people. In other words, it was in response. If you look, it said, then drew near unto him all the publicans, verse 1, sinners to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured and said, this man received sinners, and he eats with them. I believe the lost silver, the lost sheep, and the lost son are all a picture of a God that's long-suffering and merciful and is in the business of saving sinners. You remember in the prodigal son in the parable, this my son was lost and is found. He was dead and is alive. Amen. I believe God is trying to let us know that we have a heavenly Father that goes after sinners and loves sinners. Now, you can make application. I'm not going to fuss at you for that. But I believe the main interpretation of this scripture is that God receives sinners. And Paul said, of whom I'm chief. Amen. Now watch this. Not much is said about this fella. Look in verse 25. You remember the story. You remember the younger said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. I want my inheritance, and I want it now. I don't want to wait on you to die, Daddy. I just want you to go ahead and fork it out. Give it to me now. Give me the portion. He divided unto him his living. Not many days, the younger son, he gathered all together and he took his journey into the far country. I'm not going to preach the whole text, but you know what happened. He wasted it. He found it all gone. The Bible called it riotous living. A lot of people are living there today. Riotous living. He squandered it. He wasted it. And found out in the far country that he got hungry and ended up down there with the pigs. One day the Word of God said he came to himself. Well, there's a fellow in this text I don't believe that came to himself. That's the elder brother. Look what the Word of God said in verse 25. You know, the father made a celebration. He told him to kill the fatted calf. He wanted to eat and make merry. Verse 25, the elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And the Word of God said in verse 28, and he was angry and would not go in. I'll tell you something tonight. Listen to me. If you can think in your heart and in your mind of the worst enemy that you have on the face of this planet, and that enemy would walk down that aisle and get saved by the grace of God, and you're angry, there's a problem with you somewhere. Amen. He's angry. Watch what the Word of God said. His father went out to him and entreated him. Watch it. He answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid. There's lots of things going on here, but the Word of God said jealousy is as cruel as the grave. Jealousy is certainly one of them. You say, preacher, what do you mean over here in the text? Paul said, listen, thinkest thou this old man that judgest them would do such thing and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Here's a man that's got something in his heart, I believe, that's far worse than anything that the younger son had. Amen. In his heart, in the far country, even in wanting his inheritance.
He said, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living," watch this now, "with harlots." I'm going to ask you a question. How do you know that? How do you know that? I want to ask you another question. Do you think he had been praying for his brother? Bob, if he had been praying for his brother, when his brother come home, he would have rejoiced just like Daddy did. He'd have said, "Oh God, you answered my prayer. You saved my brother out of the far country." No, he hadn't been praying for him. You know what he did? He judged him. You know what else he did? He despised him. I'm telling you tonight, the Word of God said over there in the book of Romans, you think you're going to escape the judgment of God. You despise others and you do the same thing. You say, "Preacher, watch what he said. As soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he said unto him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." It was meat. That word in the Word of God means necessary. It was necessary that we should make that. Excuse me. It was necessary that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I want to show you another picture in the Word of God. Turn to Luke chapter 18. Sometimes, we mentioned last week how that David, when he heard the story about the rich man that had all kinds of sheep, and then the poor man just had one little lamb, and the lamb was like a pet. He ate with it. He slept with it. The traveler comes by, and the rich man, instead of getting one of his many lambs and killing it, he got the poor man's lamb and killed it. I'm just telling you the story that Nathan told David. And David said, "As the Lord liveth, thy soul liveth, the man that's done this thing shall surely die." I won't argue with you tonight. I know that Jonathan was a great friend to David, but so was Nathan. Brother Gary, it takes a great friend to be able to stand toe-to-toe with us when we're wrong, in the right spirit, and say, "You're wrong. You had no right to do that. You shouldn't have done that." David, for a moment, was despising. He was judging just for a moment. And then it dawned on him when Nathan said, "Thou art the man." All of a sudden, he's not despising himself too much, or judging himself too much. But it comes pretty quickly. You say, "Pastor, how do you know that?" I've read Psalm 51. David repented. David, Brother Ralph, he figured out that God had his number. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You ain't lived for God long until you'll figure out God's got your number. He's got my number. He loves us. If you really belong to Him, you ain't going too far. You won't get too far out of the path, and He'll reach that staff down there and pull you back. Why? Because He loves us. Many times it's for His name's sake. We're down there out of the path, fixing to drag His name in the mud. And He loves us. The Word of God said here in Luke chapter 18, "And He spake this parable unto certain." Watch this now. This is exactly what Paul is trying to paint a picture of in Romans chapter number 2. He said, "He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." I want to say this tonight. Listen to me carefully. There are religious organizations that believe they're going to heaven. Some of them believe they'll have a bunch of virgins waiting on them when they get there. And they despise you and I that believe that Jesus died on an old rugged cross, that they buried him. The third day he rose again according to the scripture. That put our faith and our trust, not in our religion, but in a Savior that came down here and took our place, was born of a virgin, a miraculous conception, a life without sin. And they despise us. Many would call us infidels. You say, Pastor, doesn't that worry you that you might be on the wrong side of the fence when this thing's over? Nope. His judgment is according to truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Two men went up the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee. The other a publican. The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself. That's how we pray sometimes, isn't it? With ourselves. Brother John, that's what you brought out in Sunday school time and time again. There's times you pray and then there's times you pray. Sometimes we're just praying with ourselves. Sometimes we get in the Spirit. The Spirit of God takes our prayers right into the throne room of God. And sometimes we get in the Spirit and we can't pray. We're so broken we can't even utter a word. But the Bible said the Spirit of God makes intercession for us with groanings. I'll tell you this tonight, it would behoove every one of us to realize this. God's not impressed with our vocabulary. God's not impressed with how we can put it together. God's not impressed with how long or how short it is. God just wants us to bear our heart. He wants it to be real. The Word of God said he prayed with himself and he said, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. So God, thank you for giving me a chance to tell you all the things that I'm not doing. Now, Lord, let me just fill you in on some things that I am doing. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You know what the Word of God is describing here? I can't remember which epistle it is. I can't remember for sure. It seems like it might be the book of Galatians. But the Bible said a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. It might be Ephesians. It's one of them epistles. Amen. He had a form of godliness. But he didn't have any unction. He didn't have the power of God. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican standing afar off. I'd say that Pharisee didn't want to be anywhere near him. He would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I want to say this tonight. I've heard people say this. I've even heard people that struggled because they couldn't remember what they said. Beloved, listen. It's not so much what you said, but it's the attitude of your heart. We get saved when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. After that now, somewhere along the way, we're going to confess that. That's going to come out of our mouth. The Word of God, whenever I'm dealing with somebody that needs to be saved, I try to get them to pray because the Word of God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I also know the struggle that many go through because they'll say, well, I didn't even pray. How many knows what I'm talking about? Slewfoot, he'll use anything he can. But God's looking at that heart. I've heard people say this. You don't have to agree with me. There are some that, Bob, they don't understand the gospel when they leave their seat. And so maybe they come to an altar, or maybe they go to someone's home, and somebody has to really just break it down and help them to understand. Maybe they're listening to the radio going down the road, and God gives them understanding. But sometimes that individual that understands, and sometimes God's been dealing with them for a long time. Brother Grizzle, I believe when they go like that, heading towards Jesus, Jesus meets them right there. It's a surrender of the heart. A surrender of the will. Here's a man, this publican, he's standing afar off. His pride is gone. He smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The word of God said, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Paul is trying to paint a picture in the book of Romans. Who do you think you are that judge another man and you're doing the same thing? I believe it would go back to the law of Jesus. Maybe at times, Brother Steve, they judged another man for committing adultery while they were lusting after a woman at the same time. Jesus is saying, you're guilty. Judge another man for killing his brother while they have anger and malice and hatred in their own heart for their brother. Paul is saying, don't you know? God's judgment's according to truth. We're all going to stand before him one day after a while. The Bible said, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone, oh, listen to this, that exalteth himself shall be abased. But he that humbleth himself. I will say this tonight. Not one man, not one woman, not one boy, not one girl has ever been saved without humbling themselves and admitting. I'll quote Brother Mitchell again. Taking sides with God against himself. That's not easy to do. As a matter of fact, I don't believe a man can do it apart from the Spirit of God. We still believe in something called conviction. That the Spirit of God must convict a man's heart and show him his need of a Savior. Paul in the book of Romans here, I wanted to get a lot further tonight. But thinkest this old man that judges them would do such things and do us the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God. Let's look at verse 4 just a moment and I'll quit. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness? But Steve, when I think about that elder brother, the prodigal's elder brother, in a sense, now listen to me carefully, I believe he was despising his father's goodness, his father's provision. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and long-suffering. You see, in that text, that father didn't give up. You say, Pastor, how do you know he didn't give up? The Word of God said that he ran out there to meet him. He saw him. You want to know why he saw him? He was looking for him. Sister Carol, you're looking for him. You're looking for him. When you're praying for somebody to get saved, you're looking for them. It might take a while. It might not. but we'll rejoice when they come to know the Lord. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness? I want to say a word about this tonight. Now close. There have been times when God has had to get the rod after this preacher. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? But there's times, Brother Ralph, when he used another tool to correct me. He smothered me with his goodness and made me ashamed of what I've done and where I was at. Don't y'all look at me like that. Y'all telling me you've lived perfect since you got saved? I guarantee you ain't. There's times when God will speak to you and you're sensitive to him and you'll get that thing right, and there's times when he'll have to get the rod. Say, wake up, son. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You don't belong to the devil anymore. And there's times when you'll be like David. You'll be going down the road thinking everything's all right. My son sent me a picture of that truck. God's good. He drives for a living. Don't y'all tell anybody this. But his tag was dead. Reminded me of an incident years ago, Brother Steve. I was going to preach in a prison in Missouri. I got behind a state trooper that was doing exactly the speed limit. I followed him for 20 miles doing exactly the speed limit. Don't y'all look at me like that. I eased out, Brother Gary. I gave a signal and I eased out and I eased around him and I eased back over. Woo! He lit me up. I said, there's a state trooper that's full of pride. He said, sir, can I see your license registration? I gave it to him. He said, you know, your tag's dead. If I'd have stayed behind him, Brother Griswold, he wouldn't have known my tag was dead. I had to go around there and show it to him. Amen. I said, sir, they're laying on the counter in the kitchen. I said, I just forgot to put them on. And that was the truth. Miss Eve will tell you. He just handed me everything back. He said, be sure you put them on when you get home. I said, thank you, sir. But this man told my son, he said, you know what? He said, you could have your license suspended. He said, I'm not even going to mention that. There's no damage except to your truck. There's no property damage or anything like that. He said, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say God's good. He drives for a living. Amen. God is good. He's always good. And sometimes his goodness will lead us to a place of repentance. I believe, I don't know if I can quote it, I used to could quote 4 or 5 verses right through there, over there in the book of James. No, it's the book of Jude. I can't even get it started. Maybe if I get it started, I could go with it. But in the book of Jude, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. Others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. I can remember thinking about that years ago. Some are saved as God's mercy and God's love and God's grace is being magnified. Some are saved. I could have been saved years before I was saved if I could have just swallowed my pride If some of you may remember Brother Eddie Crusenberry, he's a big man. He brought his choir up here years ago, and he's in heaven now with his dad. But Brother Bud was preaching in a tent meeting in Shady Valley, Tennessee. And he was one of them preachers, when he got to preaching, there'd be white stuff in the corner of his mouth on both sides. He preached that kind of like they do a lot in North Carolina with a hack. Good man. Loved God. Drove a truck for a living. Pastored churches. Built churches. Brother Bud got up and preached on religious wrecks on the highway to hell. And I'm telling you, if I could have just swallowed my pride that night, God dealt with my heart. Wasn't easy. Swallow that pride, it never is. But I tell you, it's good. It's good to know that you know, that you know, that you know. That if you go out of here and you don't make it home, you'll make it home. This world's not our home. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight.